You look in Aleph, the first pasuk you have there, Perek Mem Tes, pasuk Yud Dalet. Yisachar Chamoir Garim. Yisachar is compared to a bony donkey. Yisachar is the Ben Teira. Why is the Ben Teira, the one who's zvul and supports, why is he symbolized by a donkey? Says a pshat, the difference between a chamoir and a sus is for a horse, in order to rest, one removes its saddle and he runs, he frolics around, and that's way it rests some of the time. What happens with a donkey? You want a donkey to rest, you put the donkey with its saddle, with its packages, in a quiet corner, and while it's loaded up, a donkey is able to rest. Yisachar is meramis to loim de Torah. The test of a ben Torah is not when you're actually sitting in the Beis Medrash. It's not when you have the yoke, the oil ha-Torah, the saddle on your back. The test of a ben Torah is, what is he doing bein hasdarim? What is he doing on weekends? What is he doing bein hasmanim? That is when you see if a ben Torah is a real ben Torah. You see if the Torah carries through to the rest of his life. One of the smartest men to have ever lived was Aristotle. Aristotle understood life better than almost anybody. A philosopher. Nevertheless, Aristotle was known to be one of the most debased and live a life as low as anybody could live. And somebody once asked Aristotle, how come he understands life better than anybody? How come he lives like such a low life? So he said, when I'm doing those things, I'm not Aristotle at that time. At that time, I'm not Aristotle. When I'm sitting and studying and writing books, I'm Aristotle. The other times, I'm a regular person. Or I'll give you a similar mashal. I once heard somebody said he went, I think it was Rav Galinsky heard it from, he was once a lecture given by a professor of the hazards of smoking. And the professor was showing them x-rays of people's lungs who had smoked for years. He gave them all the statistics of how it causes lung cancer, emphysema. It causes strokes, heart attacks. All statistics are higher when a person smokes. And he gave this lecture for 3 hours. People are listening, fascinated. And all the time when the professor is giving it, he's smoking one cigarette after the other. Somebody asked the professor afterwards, nobody understands better than you the hazards of smoking, the dangers of smoking. How come you smoke? So the professor said, I don't understand your question. If I'd be a professor of mathematics, that means I have to be a triangle? What he was saying, in other words, is, one is chachma, and one is typhus. One is my desires. I don't want to do that. I'm like anybody else. I have desires to smoke. I'm addicted to smoking. You can't compare the two things. Torah is not a subject. It's not something you do only in the shir, only in the Beis Medrash. It's something that has to affect you, change the person who you are. So Yisachar Chamoir Garim is like a donkey, meaning that even when you're resting, even when you're doing anything else, you're sleeping, you're eating, everything you're doing, a person is still a ben Torah. On Rav Meir Shapiro's yeshiva, there was a sign up there. L'chu vonim shimuli yiras Hashem alamedchem. What was the pshat in that sign? Because there's a difficulty with the posik. The posik should say, boyu bonim, come children. Shimuli, listen to me, yiras Hashem alamedchem. Why l'chu vonim, go? And the answer is that for a yeshiva, the bachram act like a Torah when they're in the yeshiva, that's simple to do. It's l'chuv on him. When you go, shimuli, listen to me even when you're out the yeshiva, yiras Hashem alamedchem. That is the tachlis of the yeshiva. The posik in Aleph that you have there continues. Perek Mem Tes, posik Yud Dalet. Vayar menucha ki toiv. Yisachar saw menucha. Relaxation. It's ki toiv. It's a kishmak. It's nice to relax, to take it easy. Then it says, Vayet Shechmoy Lisboil. He lowered his shoulder, he bent his shoulder to carry a load. So if he saw that menuchah's gishmak is good, kitoyif, why is it by yetshech by lispoil? Why did he start doing something which is the opposite of relaxation? He started carrying loads. He took on himself the yoke of Torah. So the pshat is that when a person in this world is supposed to do everything l'chavod shemayim, everything you can do for kavod shemayim, the biggest thing you can do for kavod shemayim is take the thing you love best, your greatest talents, and use them to avod Hashem with. Kol chelev l'Hashem, all the best you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right at the creation of the world, we saw somebody who messed up in that area, and that was Hevel. Hevel didn't give the best. I mean, Cain did not give the best for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore his karma wasn't accepted. You have to give the best. Yisachar saw people, what is their focus in life? Menucha. You ask somebody, why do you want to make money? They want money, of course, because then I can relax. Then I can retire. Then I can have an easy life. I can travel the world. I can do what I want. Everybody in life wants menucha. Vayar menucha kitoy. Yisachar saw menucha is the most geshmaka thing. That's what the whole world wants. That's the most geshmaka thing. That's why I'm giving to Rabbeinu Shalom. Vayet sheikh my lisboil. He gave that menucha. Instead of having menucha, I'll give it over for the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's a maisa with the Emri Emes. That's the present Ger Rebbe's grandfather. He had a pair of tefillin. I don't remember the name of the sefer, who they were from, but they were. He got them Yerusha, and they were from a famous sefer of many years earlier. And they were very chosh for tefillin to have. Very hard to get hold of tefillin like this, worth a fortune. One day, one is Hasidim saw as a person putting on these tefillin of the Rebbe. So he asked him where he got them from. He said they didn't have tefillin with him, and he asked the Rebbe if he can borrow a pair of tefillin. And the Rebbe gave him these tefillin to put on, so he's using them. So one of the Hasidim went to the Rebbe and asked him, what's the pshat? They knew that the Rebbe put on this tefillin, pair of tefillin, once a year. Erev Yom Kippur wore this tefillin, no other time. And he prepared himself. It was a big thing for him to wear this tefillin. And here, he gives it this year to put on, because he doesn't have his tefillin. So the Rebbe explained that, with the pasuk called Chelev L'Hashem, that he was going to give him his regular tefillin. But he realized, it's a mitzvah to do. You're doing a mitzvah, you do it with the best that you have. So he gave him this pair of tefillin. There's something I just saw yesterday, which I found very interesting. That's, you look at Hay on your sheet, Perek Nun, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayitzavu El Yosef, Leimor, Avichot Siva, Lefnei Moisai Leimor. This is what your father commanded. Kaisomer Yosef, tell Yosef to forgive the chet of your brothers. Ono, sono, pesha, achecha. So the brothers are saying, their father has died, Yosef, he asked you should forgive us. There's a Medrash Tanchuma and a Das Kanim on this Pasuk. They both bring slightly different psukim, where they bring it out from. But they say, what was it that worried the brothers of Yosef now all of a sudden? So they explain that after they went to bury Yaakov, on the way back home, they passed the pit that Yosef had been thrown in. I guess there was a marker there. This is the pit of Yosef. Pity they don't have it today, because they could use it as a tourist site. And as they went past that pit, Yosef went over to the pit and made the bracha, Baruch she'osa li neis b'mokim hazeh. They said, oi, Yosef still remembers us. He remembers what we did to him. Yosef still remembers. And they were very worried, and they said over that Yaakov asked that he should forgive us. And the Bani Musa asked Akasha, because Yosef went and made a bracha, as a halach in Shulchan Aruch, if a nes happens to you, you have to make a bracha in that mokum. Baruch she'osel nes b'mokum hazeh. Somebody, Rachman Litzlan, is in a terrible car accident, and they could have died there, and they survived the accident. That mokum, when they drive past there, they have to make a bracha there. So Yosef had a chiyuv bracha. So why do they think he hated them? Because of this. So I saw two pshatim. And each one fits with the personality of the person who said it. The first one I saw was from the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. You never knew him, but he was somebody whose tzidkus you could see just by looking at him. You would watch him for a few minutes, you would see. There was few people to compare to him in our day in tzidkus. Every gadol in the world looked to him as a tzaddik yisoid olam. His davening was something to see. He didn't daven anything without having a siddur in front of him. He wouldn't make a bracha without looking at a siddur. He was once driving from London to Manchester, it's 200 miles, on the way back from a chasna, and they stopped at a service station, they went to the bathroom, they came back in the car, and he asked them for a siddur. Nobody had a siddur. They said, in the trunk there's a siddur. So he said, so we've got to get the siddur. You know, they wanted to say the bracha with him. He wouldn't do that. They had to stop the car, take out the siddur from the trunk, and then he was able to say the bracha. He never, ever made a bracha without a siddur in front of him. He was so makpid. So he explained pshat. Yosef came to the pit. He has to make a bracha now. You think Yosef went, how you make a bracha shakal and a candy? That's not how he made the bracha. Yosef made the bracha, he wanted to be mechavan properly. How are you mechavan on a bracha like that? You have to think through of the next that happened. So Yosef starts chazering over the whole story. And all the tsar and what he was going through, and his brothers threw him in, and he was crying there. And then the Rabbi Shlom made this nace, and he describes it, and then is ready for it, and he makes the bracha. His brothers are watching, and they can see as he's going through the story, the tsar is feeling as he's reliving it. They got very nervous about it. They saw, and they still feel such tsar. Oh, he must have tainas on us. But that wasn't the pshat in it. Pshat is he wanted to make the bracha properly. So they got very nervous. When they got home, they said, Yaakov said, you should forgive us. That's the matter of Rashiv's Malach. Rav Simcha Sissel Brody, Rashiv in Chevron, he also has a Musa Sefer, some derech. And he writes a pshat, which I think we could all relate to, a pshat like this. He says that if somebody has a nace, a car accident, of course, they've got to make the bracha every time. If somebody has a nace that they were saved from harm that somebody wanted to do to them. Now, if you're going to make that bracha, every time you make it, you're going to remember what the person was trying to do. Every time you're going to feel a sin against that person. He said, it's better you don't make the bracha. He says, what's the purpose of a bracha? The purpose of a bracha is to give shvach to the Rabbeinu Shloim. The greatest shvach to the Rabbeinu Shloim is that a yid does something to you and you forget about it. That you're able to forgive the person. And therefore, he said, the brothers felt Yosef shouldn't make that bracha at all. Better he forgot about it. His making the bracha means he wasn't able to get to that level. He didn't forget about it. He's making the bracha, and therefore, they got nervous about it. The Pasuk says, Perek Mem Ches Pasuk Yud Dalet, that's Gimel, Vayishlach Yisrael Tziminoi, Vayoshes Al Reisha Frayim. Yaakov put his right hand on Ephraim's head, Vuhu Atzor, he was the younger one. Vesmoiloi, his left hand he put, Al Reish Menashe, on the hand of Menashe. Sikel is Yodov. He used with Seichel his hands, he moved his hands across, he crossed his hands. Ki Menashe Abchor, because the Menashe was the Bchor. So the words Ki Menashe Abchor don't seem to fit. It should say, Afal Pisha Menashe Abchor, even though Menashe was the Bchor, he crossed his hands. He shouldn't have crossed his hands. But even though he was, he crossed his hands. Why does it say Ki Menashe B'chayr? The Chizkuni learns, even though Menashe was the B'chayr. Many of the Mepharshim on the Al HaTorah explain the same pshat. They say that what should Yaakov rightfully have done? He should have put Menashe and Ephraim, switched them round. Put Ephraim on his right, to be on the right, Menashe on the left. And then he could have done it the correct way. Why did he cross his hands? He didn't cross his hands because by doing that, that they see what's happening, Menashe and Ephraim. It's a bigger bizoyan to Menashe, that he's moving him to the other side. But when you're doing from on top, they don't see anything. They don't know what's happening. They're just standing there like this, and he crosses his hands. It's much less of a bizoyan to them. The reason why he crossed his hands is, and didn't move them to the other side, Ki Menashe Zabchor, because Menashe was Bechor. He didn't want to be Mevazah him in any way. He wanted as little as possible. They should feel it. So he crossed his hands rather than move them around. This is something that the Gedolim also have always have great sensitivity to other people's feelings. Rav Shach was once sundik by twins. And he was sundik by both of them. And somebody said to him afterwards that the minig is, it says, that one shouldn't be sundik twice in the same family. So how come you were sundik twice and two brothers? So Rav Shach says, yes, it's true, there's such a minig, and I wouldn't do it normally. But he says, but I felt over here, since they're twins, and when they grow up, one of them might say, the Ponovizhya Rosh Yeshiva was my sundik. He wasn't your sundik. It could create jealousy. So that was more important. So because of that, I wasn't noig like the minig is, and I was sundik by both of them. Rav David Stefanski told me, when he became a chosen, he went into the stipler. His family was very close with the stipler. The stipler said, oh, you're a chosen, let me give you a matana. He gave him a set of Kilas Yaakov, of his svarim. So Rabbi Stefanski's father said, no, write in it. Ask the stipler to write, he should write in it. A bracha. So he said, no. He said, why not? Most people, the stipler said, you don't argue with the stipler. It wasn't somebody you could easily argue with, but they were very close. He asked the stipler, no, why not write in it? So he doesn't want to write. He says, but it means a lot to him, you should write. So he said, no, he made a kabbalah, he doesn't write anymore in Sfarah. So he says, why not? He says, because recently he was by a bar mitzvah, and he gave the bar mitzvah bracha a Kilas Yaakov, gave him one of his Sfarim. And he wrote in the Sefer, 2 years earlier, a brother was bar mitzvah, and he also gave him a Kilas Yaakov, and he wrote in it. And he says, and what did he write in it? Each one he wrote in it, whatever was in his mind at the time. L'chvoid, ha-boch, ha-mitzvah, ha-gon, ha-this, ha-that, ha-boch, ha-muflok, whatever he wrote titles. Yerushimayim, Ben-Torah, whatever he wrote titles. And he wrote the one 2 years ago different to the one he wrote now. And they looked at it, and they were medaik it. He said, they were saying, wow, the first one he looked at is a much better boch than this one. This one, obviously, he doesn't feel as such a good kid. And the second bar mitzvah was very upset about it. And he said, you think when I write it, they think it's Ruach HaKodesh when I write it. What it is I write something. As I'm giving, I quickly write something. And since they're being medaiket, he says, I can't take that anymore. He says, I'm not writing anymore, because people make a whole story out of it. Just one more thing, how you see the gedolim, how they have sensitivity for people's feelings. By many people of Masada Kedushin, they want the Edim to see the woman who they're being Masada Kedushin for, who they're giving Edus on for the Kedushin. So they lift up the veil for the Edim to see the color. And that could make a color feel uncomfortable. They say, okay, you see the color? Like, you know, they have to look at her. How does Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky do it? Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky lifts up the veil and he says to the color, you see the Edim? And obviously the Edom understand they're supposed to see the color. But that way, the color doesn't feel uncomfortable. Okay, we can squeeze in one more quickly. Look at, this is Perek Memches Pasuk Chof, Dalet. Vayavorachim bayayimahu leimoy. Becho yavorach Yisrael leimoy. Yesimcha lekim kefrayim v'chimenashe. There are many different pshatim, but I'll tell you the latest pshat that I saw in this. Why does a person, a father, give his bracha children dafka to be like Ephraim and Menashe? How about Reuven and Shimon? Why dafka? What is it about Ephraim and Menashe? So I just saw a pshat, which I like very much, is that you look throughout history since the beginning of time. You had sets of brothers. You had Cain and Hevel. The relationship wasn't so great there, you might remember. You had Yishmael and Yitzchok, and you know Chumash Rashi. Also, there were problems there. Yishmael shooting arrows in the wrong direction. You get to Yaakov and Esav, also not such an exciting relationship. You get the Shiftei Kah, problems again. Finally, you get siblings who really get along with each other. So we give a bracha to our children. Yisimcha lekim chimfraim chimenashe. You should be with your siblings like Ephraim and Menashe. Shabbos.